Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hi everybody, this is Ann, welcoming you to our Wednesday evening get-together with Mother, Father, God, and Dr. Catherine E. May. We're so happy you've joined us this evening. We're all getting to know each other so well on these calls. And just for those of you that are visiting us perhaps for the first time, I'd let you know that we will be having a live channeling with Dr. Catherine E. May, who is a practicing clinical psychologist. She's been in private practice in New York City and in the Hudson Valley area for over 35 years with her very unique, one-of-a-kind technique that is just gathering so much momentum, so many people wanting to learn about this. It's called visual centering, and you can learn more about it on her webpage, which is whoneedslight.org. That's whoneedslight.org. You'll meet Dr. May there and be able to even click on the tab up at the top that says Channeled Info, and you'll see how this all began. It's just a wonderful story that we're all so much attracted to and following, joining in and following thousands around the world are on these calls every week. It's just amazing. So I don't know who we're going to hear from tonight. I'm going to ask Dr. May to give us a little insight on that. She's been quite busy traveling and just kind of getting caught up, but I won't take any more of your time, by the way. My name is Anne DeHart, and yes, I have two websites that I manage. One is called HollowEarthNetwork.com, HollowEarthNetwork.com. This was built to facilitate messages from Hollow Earth with Zora, who has become a very good friend of ours over more than 2 years now, who has spoken through us through trans-channeling with his son, Zarea, actually occupying Zarea's physical body here on the surface and speaking to us on the phone. And you can hear earlier episodes. We've all just expanded our knowledge incredibly. And my other website is earthascends.com. EarthAscends.com. And on this website, this has to do with the galactics. So one website has to do with Hollow Earth, and the other has to do with our galactic families in the skies. And on this particular website, you'll find Dr. May's full page, all just for her messages. And the tab at the top says Mother, Father. And click on that, and you'll be connected with all that you need to know and find out from Dr. Catherine E. May in New York. And with that, I'm going to turn this over to Catherine, see if she's recovered from all her travels and ready to bring in her cosmic friends. So, hi, Catherine.
Hi, Anne. Thank you for that lovely introduction. And yes, by the way, this is Anne DeHart. And I really do recommend you go to her websites. They're so lovely. I keep asking her to teach me how to do that, but we never have time. So one day I'll have a beautiful website like hers as well. So tonight, Mother, Father, God are going to speak, and Jesus, and Saint Germain. And that's all I know so far. I don't know what they're going to talk about, although we've had a number of questions. And today, especially when I was reading questions that came through on the blog and by email, they were reading over my shoulder. So we'll see. They may just answer some of the questions on the call, which would be nice. So we have a couple of people already waiting to ask questions. So I hope tonight we'll have a little time to get to everyone's questions. So let's go ahead and let Mother, Father, God come through. And we'll see.
Well, we'll just let you settle back and get nice and comfy and cozy. And we'll give you just a minute or so here, not even a minute. You're fast at this. And while we're just pausing for a minute, the next voice that we'll hear will be Mother, Father, God.
Yes, thank you, dear. And hello, everyone. We're here to talk with you. It's Wednesday night, and we're delighted to make contact and talk with you in person. Of course, we talk with you all the time, but you don't get to hear our answers. Some of you aren't quite catching what we're saying to you yet, but we feel it changing. Many more people are really becoming very willing to be psychic. You know, it used to be considered something kind of weird, but we're trying to make it commonplace so that everyone will say, well, why can't I do that? If Catherine can do it, why can't I? Well, you can. So we're hoping that we'll be able to have a personal conversation with you in the comfort of your own homes. And it's also fun to share the questions and the information here as well. So we're happy to answer your questions with the whole group listening in and learning from it, because you can be sure any question that you have, there are probably 100 other people who are thinking the same thing and would like to ask it too. So don't be shy about asking your questions, and we will do our very best to try and answer. Now, speaking of questions, we have had a very complicated question. And it's true, we were reading over Catherine's shoulder. So someone has written into the blog to ask a whole lot of questions about passages from the Bible, and do we agree with that, and are we confused, or have we changed our minds? Or if the Bible is not accurate, why isn't it? Well, let's start with why the Bible isn't accurate and why we can't answer every question about scriptures. As much as we would like to, we cannot possibly give you answers about whether we agree with one passage or another, or it would take 100 years. To answer all the questions, and still it might not be clearly understood, because we would be responding to something that is not our words and not our thinking. So we don't want to do that. We would prefer to teach you from scratch, as you might call it, and to let you learn all over again who we really are, what we really feel, what our principles are, and what we see as the most hopeful and wonderful life you can possibly live, and how you can develop as individuals, as human beings. So we teach you through these blogs and these messages what we call the true way. And that is simply the teachings that Jesus,
or Sananda, came to the earth to teach, and that which we are teaching you now are identical lessons. The problem with the Bible is that it was not written by Sananda. It was written by people who came later. And as many of you know, the Bible was actually compiled about 300 years after the one you called Jesus was there. So, of course, there are not direct quotes there. And we didn't have a pencil in hand to write the Bible, so we cannot say we wrote the entire Bible and that it is our word, because there were many revisions and many meetings and discussions about which scriptures would be included in the Bible and which would be left out. And of course, as soon as they started leaving out scriptures and writings from the time of Jesus' life, already that's a distortion, isn't it? Leaving something out is the same as changing something. There were scriptures from Mary Magdalene, who was, of course, Jesus' wife. She was one of the main disciples and teacher alongside her twin flame. Those teachings are left out. It changes the Bible completely. The presentation of women in the Bible is very distorted because it was written by men of the patriarchy, men who wish to present a certain picture and maintain their power. It was a very good way for men who wanted to be in power and to control people to present teachings as if Jesus were a celibate, solitary man who walked the earth teaching people in groups of men only. Well, of course that wasn't true. There were many women who were closely related to Jesus and Mary, who knew the family well, who lived and worked closely with them. So much of what has been presented has been skewed to promote and uphold the patriarchy, which of course was the popular culture at the time. So much of what you read in the Bible has been colored by that patriarchal perspective and also by the lust for power that caused those who were writing the Bible to, or compiling it, to choose certain writings and not others. Many of the writings of Paul, for instance, were very distorted. We wrote about this in Catherine's book. There is a chapter called The Christ You Never Knew. Actually, it's The Christ We Never Knew. And in that chapter, we have told you, actually, it was channeled directly from Jesus himself. So the chapter tells you about some of the extreme misunderstandings and inaccuracies that Jesus wanted to correct. So that is our work now, much of it, to explain and correct much of what has been taught as religion and has been promoted as the Word of God, when it is often a part of what we would like to say and what we would like to teach, or a part of what Sananda was teaching, but not the whole story. So we'll take on some of those things tonight, and perhaps you will have questions. We welcome questions about these kinds of things because it's very important for us to set the record straight.
And that has been one of our main concerns in asking Catherine to take these messages and post them. And in talking with you on these calls, we truly wish to correct the misunderstandings that so many of you have lived with painfully for so long. Some of the teachings, especially in the more conservative churches, have played very profoundly on feelings of fear, especially fear that children feel. When you tell a child that they're going to burn in hell, they take it very seriously. And we have never taught that. We would never teach that, especially not to a child. And we regret that those words have ever been spoken, and they certainly did not come from us. So the guilt, the fear, the shame that is taught around sexuality, around having your own voice, of being your own independent, creative self. We did not ask for obedience, not in the form that many interpret that. Obedience in your English language means abject submission. It does not mean thinking for yourself. Well, this is not what we want. We want to see you thinking for yourselves and also experiencing our love in such a way that makes it possible for you to have faith and trust in us. That is a much higher level of spiritual development when you willingly, joyfully join with us in doing the good work that is here for us, in helping others to join with us. That is joyful, glorious work. And it comes with fun and with a sense of belonging and no judgment, no punishment, and certainly no fear. Some of the lessons that you have come here to learn have presented you with opportunities to feel fear, and that's part of the learning process. When you learn to have deep faith and connection with us, with Sananda, with your ascended masters, with your higher self, when you learn that and you are able to bask in the light and the love that we send to you, your minds will be at peace. There will be no fear. And when you can achieve that state, even here on planet Earth, you are indeed an ascended master. We know how hard it is to accomplish that. And we see our masters there working hard, struggling with every word, every feeling, every thought to purify and elevate themselves. That's what we're asking all of you to do. To purify and elevate yourself. Now, let's explain what we mean by that. We do not mean that you need to live in a cave and only meditate all day long. We do not mean that you should not participate in sexual encounters, especially with the ones you love. We celebrate that. We love to see you in love. It is how we created you, to be attracted to each other, to be intensely in love, and when that happens, you experience sexual feelings. We celebrate that.
We only ask that you be very careful not to hurt each other. That's the true way. Not to use your sexual interests or your powers to take advantage of another, to misuse another, to mistreat another. That would be a terrible misuse of the glorious gift that we have given you. Yes, we do want you to be completely and deeply aware of the connection between the sexual feelings you have and your capacity to reproduce, to have a child. It is a sacred trust. It is a holy act to create a child together. And it should always be done consciously, as we do in higher vibrations, in higher dimensions. You may have read or been told about the way the creation of a child is accomplished in higher dimensions. It is a deep feeling and thought state in which a mother and father join together to create a new being. It is with their thoughts that they create the new being. That is a model that all of you could and hopefully will learn and are learning, because the power to create another being is an act of being God. It is intended to be carefully thought out, carefully arranged, with reverence, with deep love for one another, for a child that comes into the world without parents who deeply love, will have a difficult time of it. Now, knowing that this is the case, the condition on planet Earth, many of you chose to come here anyway, to come into families that would be unloving, to come into an environment that is loveless or abusive. Many of you chose to come and experience that because there is no better way to learn compassion and to learn what happens to a child when they are not treated with respect, when they are not welcomed into the world. But our view, our hope for all of you is that you will ascend, that you will evolve, that you will learn these things now while you're still there, that you will learn that reverence for life, for all lives around you, and that you will carefully, consciously plan if you decide to have a child, and to never do it any other way. What a good world that will be for children, when every child is welcome. In the meantime, given that you have lived through a very dark time, a very difficult time, especially the last few hundred years have been very difficult for parents and for children, we are aware that there are methods to prevent pregnancy. We do not object to that, as long as the two people involved are carefully attending to each other's feelings and to the thought of having a child and planning carefully. That to us is a higher level of existence than to just say, well, if it should come, we'll deal with it. Well, that's not planning to be a parent. That is not planning to be a good parent. That's simply permitting your biology to take over. And that is not what we ever intended. It is the way of a highly evolved human being to be in command of their actions and of their biological abilities. Just as you control and command your feelings and your thoughts, you also command your body. And it is not unreasonable, given effective education and training, that you all become very aware, very capable of managing your sexual feelings as well as your sadness, your anger, your joy, all of it, to feel gloriously inside the sense of being human. And that means being inside the sense of being in love. And when you love, you will want to make love. That is a wonderful thing, and not something we would ever want to deprive someone of. I hope you understand that what we are asking you is to have a higher level of consciousness in your behavior, in your sexuality, in your actions, in your work, in the way you speak to each other. All of it. We do not condemn those who may have had an encounter outside of marriage. Sometimes marriage is not always convenient. Sometimes it's not always available. Sometimes it doesn't matter. What we ask is that you maintain the sense of reverence and commitment to anyone that you decide to join with in that way, because it is a holy act. Whether it produces a child or not, it is a holy act. So, we encourage you to experience that in your lives. We hope to see the sky light up with everyone making love. That would be our wish for you. And now we're going to approach the question that has been often asked. If that's true, and if you create us to be all shades of sexualities, homosexual, heterosexual, bisexual, all of the variations that there are, why would you condemn this in the Bible? Well, the truth is, dear ones, we did not condemn this in the Bible. At the time the Bible was written, we had not developed the same lesson plan, you might call it, for those coming to planet Earth, as we have in recent years. We did not have the many numbers of homosexual people coming to the planet to experience life in that way, in that form. That is a fairly new condition, where there are large numbers of people who have feelings for the same sex rather than the opposite sex. It has always been our basic, universal, and cosmic laws that there are among the human species there are male and female, and that those generally are the original form, as you might say. You have, many of you have heard that when a soul is born, the twin flames who emerge as individuals from that soul are male and female. It is also very possible for either of those halves of the twin soul to come to Earth. For instance, the female part of the soul can come to Earth as male. The male part of the soul can come as female. And any variant of those sexual orientations. It could be the male part of the soul with feelings toward men. It could be the female part of the soul coming as a man who's attracted to other men. It can be any variation on those themes. And this we have created. And we have created it recently in large numbers. So there are many of you here who are experiencing that challenge in life, that alternate lifestyle, which is hardly alternate anymore since there are so many of you. And this was a deliberate plan on our parts and in cooperation with you as human beings to create a challenge for the world that would test everyone's tolerance, that would test everyone's favorite conceptions about life, which would challenge everyone's thinking about what love is. This was purposeful. Dear ones, we did plan this. And those who have come here in the body of one who will be lesbian, gay, transvestite, bisexual, and so on, have all agreed to be a part of this plan in which the world will be forced to open their eyes to look at what love really is, what tolerance really is, what being a valuable human being really means. Yes, we did challenge you with this one. And it has taken time, but when you think about it, in the last 50 years, look how far you have come. Look how much you have learned. And it is thanks to these brave people who came here to challenge you, especially the early ones. They were courageous. And now those who are willing to come and live this lifetime and be the teachers openly, that takes courage too. And your world is changing because of them. So do we condemn homosexuality? Not at all. In fact, we created it. And we will proudly acknowledge that those dear children who have come here to experience life in an alternate form that was for a long time reviled and is still reviled by those who seem to think they're speaking for us, well, they're not, because we love each and every one of you equally, and it doesn't matter to us whether you love someone of the same sex or of the opposite sex. We only ask that you be loving and that you be considerate and hold each other precious. And also that you care for the children with great love, with attentiveness, with respect, and that you not try to control and manage and discipline them, but that you try to listen and see them and appreciate who they really are. Now, we've taken up a lot of your time, but I think this will probably be considered a blockbuster announcement. Well, it shouldn't be, really. It should have been obvious to you by now that we love each and every one. You are our dear children. We adore you, and we would not create a mistake. That quip has often been made, God doesn't make mistakes. Well, it's true. It was not a mistake. And we're not confused about what we believe. We have always loved all of you. And we have always tried to teach that children need families. They need a mother and a father. If the mother and father are not available, they need two parents. Whatever form those parents take, they need two of them. This is the lesson we were trying to teach 2,000 years ago, when homosexuality was not really an issue in any large numbers, but caring for children and forming families and making close bonds really was an issue and still is. So our teachings have not really changed. What we encourage is a holy commitment. And where there are children involved, a commitment that reaches beyond personal preferences, beyond selfish needs, to assume the responsibility of the one who cares for the child. And that both parents assume that responsibility equally. That is what we teach. That is what we wish to paint a picture of for you. And it does not matter to us what color, shape, form, or religion any person is. We care only for what is in your hearts. And what we wish to be in your hearts tonight, tomorrow, and every day henceforth, we wish you love. We wish you to feel the love in our hearts that we send to your heart. Feel it, dear ones. Open your hearts and your minds and absorb our love. And don't stop. Don't ever stop. You can never have too much. So we send it to you all day long, every day. We never run out. There is plenty for all, because that's what love is. The more you give, the more you feel, and the more is created. So accept it and give it away lavishly, just as we do. There is nothing more fulfilling and more wonderful than to give your love wholeheartedly to another person, to another being. And remember the children. And now, we will turn over the line. We will say au revoir, just for now, until we return. Dear Anne.
Yes.
Would you like to take over for a few minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes. and so grateful. And I believe I'm expressing the gratitude of the thousands who will be listening to this call for this teaching today. It was so all-encompassing. It's something that is going to have to be listened to, I think, more than once by some of our friends here until it settles in and gives us this broader perspective of who we really are and how much you love us, how much we love you. I don't know who our next speaker will be, our next guest. I'm giving a little bridge here to Catherine. Did you want to say something at this point, Catherine, or do you have a new guest?
You have a new guest, dear. It's Hi. Sananda.
Hi, Sananda.
Hi, dear lady. Well, that was a very touching and very complete description. I do not wish to add too much to what Mother, Father, God have said, but I think it is very important that I confirm that every word they have said is exactly what I came to teach, and that I never would have said to anyone that they are condemned because of who they love. Those words would never have passed my lips, would never have been the teachings of my apostles, my true apostles. There are those who later took over the teachings and promoted themselves especially St. Paul, as my apostle, which he never was. And he largely was responsible for extending these ideas about the supremacy of maleness and the deficiency of females and the fear of homosexuality, where it did creep into his teachings in a very oblique kind of way. I would never have said those things because I have never felt those things. I would never condemn someone for loving another being. It is what is in your heart that matters. And it is how you conduct your life, how you use your love, how you experience your love in the larger human community, that is what matters. And anyone who can feel the spirit of connection and of faith and of adoration that we feel for you and that you sometimes feel for each other, that we celebrate like you celebrate the 4th of July with fireworks. We see your fireworks. We know what it is. And we celebrate. We know what being human means and what being in love when you're human means. We are not so blind as to think that you're going to pretend that these things don't exist. That would be foolish, wouldn't it? It is one of the great gifts, this ability to experience intimacy with another person. It is a gift. It is a gift from Prime Creator, and it is a gift from our Mother, Father, God. It's what was intended. And we remind you there are all kinds of love. The love between a parent and a child, the love between a brother and a sister, the love between an aunt and a niece or nephew, the love between grandparents,
and their grandchildren all are precious, all are so important to the human experience. The love that some of you feel for your pets is profound and unconditional. And you know that, you know in your heart, that those pets that you have come to you to teach you unconditional love. And many are very successful at it. I have seen people who cannot love another human being who would fall in love with their dog or cat, and by doing so will learn what unconditional love is. We celebrate that. It's a wonderful thing to see a person learning love without bounds, unending love. That is how we feel toward you. That is how we wish for you to feel every day. I have nothing more to add, except that I wish you joy, I wish you peace, and I wish you great love. Namaste.
Namaste. Thank you, Sananda. Thank you for confirming what, and also enlightening us as to, again, words that we have assumed were yours, such as Paul's, came much later and were not from one of your apostles or from you yourself. This is wonderful that we have an opportunity to learn the real truth behind all that has been passed down as very rigid fact to us when we were children. And those child minds have just followed us through our whole life. We've never questioned or even thought there might be some new awareness to learn about. So thank you so much, Sananda and Mother, Father, God. And I don't know if Catherine is back. I think Saint Germain was
playing. Hi, I'm back.
Hi, Catherine.
Yeah, I'm going to take a little interlude here and and wait for a moment for Saint Germain.
Uh-huh. Fine. Fine.
I'm just blown away by the feelings of love that I am experiencing as I was passing on this message. I sort of hear what they're saying from a distance. It's, but I don't always grasp the meaning. So I like to go back and listen later, and I'm often surprised at what I hear. But I'm not surprised by the feelings of love. I mean, it just, I feel so blessed.
You know, Catherine, while you're saying that, and I remember, where was it? We are getting so many messages, and you and I talk, and you mentioned people wonder if you are really connected to those that speak through you, and I love the way you answered it. You said, the oceans of love that I feel. You want to? Would you like to share a little thought along that line?
Oh yeah. I people often ask these kinds of questions about. Well, you can't be sure, you know, that this is the real thing, and you have to be careful because these people might be tricking you.
Mm-hmm.
I can understand why people would think that if they haven't experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have experienced talking directly to God, there is no question that this could not be anybody else. You know, when you feel the, I guess I did say, oceans of love.
Yeah, yeah.
There is no dark entity that could ever
pretend that or could ever express that kind of love and be dark. It wouldn't be, it simply would not be possible. So they each have their own personalities, their own energy, but it is, sometimes I have to wait until the whoever it is emerges a bit, because the first feeling I get is always this wave of love.
Oh.
So I know that this is either an ascended master or Sananda or God coming through, because it always, it's like the wave precedes them.
Mm.
So I always feel like the like a breeze, cool breeze on a hot day, I always feel the love coming first, and then I know this is someone I will welcome.
That
so
is beautiful.
I have no,
yeah.
I have no doubt that these voices that come through are authentic because of what I feel from them.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that that comes through to other people as well. This
well,
is
it
one
does,
of the
it
reasons
does, but
I
think they
them.
Needed to hear how you qualify, how you, this is important, I think, for people to hear this from you, Catherine. I'm glad you're speaking about it.
I'm hoping that I will soon learn to do the trans-channeling so that this way people can hear a little bit more of who they really are. And I think that they will have the power to change my voice more to make it, you know, so that they will sound more like the individuals that they actually are. So I think it will be wonderful for other people to hear Sananda speaking, even if it is still my voice. It will be Sananda in charge of my vocal cords.
Mm-hmm.
And that will change the way people hear it. To some extent. So
sort of like Zora changes when we listen to him through his son Zaria.
Right.
It's, you know, we got so accustomed to that grandfatherly old English gentleman accent that he has.
Yeah. Well, he's described it that it's not actually an English accent. It's not actually European. It's sort of a combination of all languages.
Wow.
That he, yeah. So when people listen to him, they feel their own language in what he is saying.
Hmm.
Yeah. So.
Well, we wish you
I would
well
like to be able
in,
to
your,
do that.
In all your work in doing this, Catherine. It's I'm speaking for everybody. We're so grateful. It's not easy for you. And I know you've dedicated almost a week of your time in retreat just to be able to focus on achieving this higher level of channeling that we will all benefit from. So I'm just thanking
you. Yeah, unfortunately,
you.
I had... Oh, thank you. I had a complication with some dark energy implants from very recently that were... You know, I've been under, I guess people call it under attack. I've gotten lots of help from Archangel Michael and Sananda and Mother, Father, God and my higher self and Saint Germain and, you know, everybody and Gabrielle, all of them helping me and the Arcturians to help clear these.
Why were you suddenly susceptible to them? Because you've been channeling all along, and you know, with these waves of pure love, how were you suddenly susceptible to these dark energies?
I'm not sure. I don't really have the answer to that, except that I have worked with some people who were involved. Deeply involved with black ops, and some people who And I have been removing dark entities from other people at a very rapid pace, especially light workers who are ready and who come and want to be helped. And we have been removing dark energies by the dozens. And that, I think, brought attention. When all these light workers are beginning to really shine and get back to what they're here to do, I think it brought attention because all of them were being held back by some
not only brought attention, but you were learning a new form of channeling where you totally vacate your body. And so the energies were shifting in some degree. It wasn't, you weren't there to oversee things. You were,
I think it happened when I was sleeping. I think they got to me when I was sleeping. And I think it was a very short period, you know, when I discovered it very soon afterwards and started dealing with it. I think it was very soon after I agreed to channel Zora.
Yes.
And to learn trans-channeling. That's when it happened. So
that's how powerful this will be when you are really fulfilled in that ability.
Well, and especially when Zora said, and once you learn to channel me and trade bodies with me, then you can do it with Saint Germain, you can do it with Sananda, and I think it was right after that they did not want that to happen.
They didn't want the masters to be able to speak directly with us right there in your body. This is so exciting.
I'm pretty sure that's what happened. And I see a phone number here.
Oh, you do? I wasn't looking. Okay, let's open it up.
I'll let you do that.
Okay, just a minute. I'm going to put the name on there, and the name will be Z O R R A. Okay, and I'm going to open up this phone line. Here we are. Welcome to the call. Is this Soraya, Quasar, or Zora?
See you later. Hey, how are you?
Hello, guys.
Hi, Soraya.
Hi, Soraya.
So how are you guys doing?
Oh, we're good. We just wanted to see if Zora was here to talk to us or not.
Hi, Soraya.
Do you think he'll be coming
through?
Yeah,
we're down here in New Mexico.
We hear background noise. Is someone talking?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
I'm
going to
turn this down.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, if you have a
speakerphone
on it.
We're down here in New Mexico now.
Wonderful.
Well, hello
there
from everyone.
So how are you, Catherine, my dear one?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm still dealing with, you know, some recovery. But I'll be available soon.
My father kind of explained what happened there. He knew that these implants were going to surface, and he knew that they needed to be done away with. So that's why one of the reasons why he had you start when you did start, because they needed to be gotten out and gotten rid of. But they had to come to the surface.
Okay.
And the only way they could come to the surface was to be exposed.
Oh, that's interesting.
Here's Zora. So
that's
what. And so he's done that to benefit you.
Okay.
So when,
well,
so
I'm
when
working
you
on
are,
it.
So when you are trans-channeling the other masters, you won't have that issue.
Right. Well, that will be a relief. So I'm working on it.
We got back here kind of late, so we missed the first hour of your call.
Oh, okay.
So we don't know who talked before, when, what, where. My father, did my father come through at all?
No. I asked that I not channel him yet until I've had a little more preparation.
Okay. That's fine.
But I would like to talk with him.
And I was also thinking that...
But you would like to talk with him.
Yeah, I know you'd like to talk with him. So if you would maybe give us a call after this call,
then
I'm quite sure my father can chat with you.
Okay.
And I was
also thinking
this coming Saturday, when the Saturday call comes around, if you need assistance there, having Zora come through me again, then until you get straightened out, so to speak, then I'm willing to do that.
Okay, great. Well, I'll give you a call. We'll talk about it.
Yeah, so give us a call after this call, and we'll go from there.
Okay.
And we don't get to hear from Zora at all on this call, then. I'm speaking for all the rest of us.
Well, let me see if I can conjure him up here.
He could at least give us a little encouragement for what's to come on Saturday, something like that.
Thank you for this request.
I have to speak. I know everybody is feeling, well, can't he even say hello to us? So.
Okay. Well, we haven't spoken to Zora either for, a couple of days. So let us see. I know that he's been busy, also with meetings. So hold on
maybe
one
he'll
second.
Give us a little update.
Yeah, while Zoraya is tuning him in.
Oh,
so thank
good.
You for
okay.
that.
Yeah. Well, see, this is what I'm going to have to learn how to do, is to tune him in. It sounds really easy when Zoraya does it, but you really have to concentrate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, guess what?
Yeah.
Oh, he's here.
Indeed, beloved masters.
Hello, well, you Zora. Just made our day, Zora. I'll let Catherine talk to you here. Just welcoming you for all of the listeners that are so glad you joined us.
Indeed.
Yes.
Well, as Quasar had stated, I was detained elsewhere, having a meeting. Well, the meeting that took place this time was between me the Prime Creator and the Galactics.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So they are what was termed as going to observe the Earth's surface and see... how many would do what is termed as follow through with this fast and meditation, and for what is termed as the appointed time that you are going to do this, he will be watching extremely with interested appreciation. And to see just how committed you are. And another bit of information is that Brooks Agnew, you've heard of him, Brooks Agnew, Earth researcher, has gained what is termed backing from what is termed as movie companies, and they are scheduled for departure on the 20th of this month on the journey to the North Polar opening.
To go to
Well, congratulations to Brooks after all these many years.
Well, we shall see if it comes about.
Yes.
That's
mm-hmm.
what he was stating, that he has the, what's his term, the sponsors and the backing, and everything is being readied for the journey. And we shall see.
And is mm-hmm. that channel that the Hollow Earth people, they actually melted a channel through the icebergs so that a ship could come through without having to break ice to reach the opening?
Indeed, that is so.
Ah. So you've got the channel cleared. It's just a matter of them not being interfered with by anything from the air.
Well, understand, government. If they do begin their epic journey, the weather will be favorable for them, but not favorable for military aircraft.
Oh, that's nice. That's good. So they have an open channel that you moved all the ice out of the way, and they won't be interfered with from above. Well, everything sounds very, very promising.
What they don't realize is that the currents that are in that region, in the North Polar region and the openings, are extremely strong due uh-huh. to the gravity in that area.
Oh, yeah.
And regardless of to how much power they have in their nuclear icebreaker, Russian nuclear icebreaker, it will still be drawn inside. So they are thinking of being on the rim and do some, what is called, measurements and things of this nature. But they are going to be extremely surprised when their vessel begins to be pulled.
Oh.
Even at full throttle against it, it will still pull it in.
And how many are in his group, do you know, Zora?
They have, well, besides the crew members of the ship, they have places for 100 beings.
Oh
my.
Oh, that's great. Oh,
a large group of researchers and onlookers,
And they also they're also being told not to take any weapons whatsoever.
Yeah.
That would include sidearms and things of this nature because they would not be allowed in Hollow Earth.
Right, good. Mm-hmm.
So they cannot take any weapons of any sort.
And they're impressed upon the importance of their own internal congeniality.
Yes, they have been doing. They will be doing what is termed as meditation classes on the journey in preparation for the arrival to the longitude and latitude that will be specified to them, and that will be given to Brooks Agnew in a dream.
Oh, how nice!
Oh,
so they will be of one accord. All together, unity, consciousness, and love. That's wonderful.
That is what has been destined to happen. Now we shall see just how serious they are.
Zora, is there anything you want to tell us, or will you be telling us on Saturday about, you mentioned briefly when you just came on, about the Galactic's Prime Creator meeting with you in regard to the recommended meditation and fast for
Indeed.
Those here on the surface. Is this our way of communicating with them from our hearts? Is it to really undergo a 3 to 7 day fast?
Well, I understand. It is not the essence of, the necessity of doing the fast. For people that are able to do it, then by all means do it. If you have restriction, health restriction or whatever, then do not attempt it. But you could still meditate.
Yes.
It's the intention that they are looking for. and it is the intention that will bring it about.
And what will it bring about?
So, disclosure.
Mm-hmm. In the message from Mother, Father, God last night, they called it disclosure fast. Disclosure fast.
That's a wonderful name for it. That would be a wonderful terminology, of course. Yes, disclosure fast in meditation.
Mm-hmm. So
must change.
Sounds like we should
what was termed as a 4-hour fast and meditation. Can you imagine the impact that you will have when you do a 3-day fast? If a 4-hour fast can make such a large change, imagine 3-day fast.
You know, I think we need to do something to bring people together and support one another during this time. I think we need to either Zora or Mother, Father, God have some sort of meeting together on each of those 3 days to encourage one another and to share experiences.
That would be a wonderful thing to do, yes. At the beginning of each day, have what is termed as a teleconference on Blog Talk, and to give them encouragement to do this, and also to give them comfort and give them encouraging words as well. And of course,
we can do that.
We can do this. We can do this.
Yes,
and
I can see. I can see how this would work, because when you're fasting, it makes you aware of what you're doing and why you're doing it. And that alone will raise people's consciousness. So I can see why it's effective, because
I'm going to let Reza explain. She did a meditation and the effect it had upon her. You were speaking of it.
Oh, happened?
Afterwards, and also the other. And what did you feel like?
This morning, I was reading up on Aquarius Paradigm. There is a meditation that was brought forth from the Hathors. And it's simply, it's very simple, it's very powerful. So I'd be happy to send it out to you, Anne, and Catherine, just so you can look at it. The format is simple. You just actually read it. As you're reading it, you're meditating already, and you can feel the flow of the energy as it's flowing through you. Because as, of course, we're doing this with the Hathors are around us, along with our guides, right, moving through and healing us and helping us. And that they suggest that that's something we should do daily. So that was, I think, what Zora was referring to. So
we could do that on the everyday calls.
Sure.
Indeed.
I would like to. Yes. What were you saying, Zora?
I said, indeed, that would be so.
That'd
be very
doable. We could do it every day at a specified time, which we can post. We're going to run out of time. You know, we have only like 15 minutes more. So I'm thinking maybe we should decide when to do this.
Well, let's let Saint Germain. I think he was going to share with us, and then you and I can between now and Saturday touch base with various people in each of our groups and try to get someone to contact the disclosure hearings people as well.
Right.
And see if we can organize a mass group and pick a time that will be guided to the right days. And we'll announce that on Saturday.
Wonderful.
Indeed. I yield the floor to Saint Germain.
Okay.
Thank you, Zora. We'll see you Saturday.
Thank you, Zora.
Indeed.
All right, so let's ask Saint Germain to come.
Okay, I'll let you go ahead and get yourself all settled in again, and we'll just settle back. What a call this has been. What we're learning and the power that we're being given to actually make disclosure a reality. And maybe Saint Germain might want to add something along that line as well as with the news that he's bringing to us. And Saint Germain, are you here?
Hello, dear Lady Nada. Yes, this is Saint Germain.
Hi.
Hi. Well, what an interesting evening you're having here.
Yes.
All this fascinating news and fascinating people combined. It's wonderful. I'm glad to be part of it. So I, you know, what an act to follow, as they say. I don't have any imminent news for you, but I do recommend, in terms of what's happening on the globe, I do suggest that when you hear the news, you keep your ears open because things are beginning to happen. There are people around the world talking to each other who have not spoken in hundreds of years. There are funds being distributed. The announcements will be given very soon, but I want to underscore that this idea of doing disclosure fast is a very good idea. The solstice meditation that you did was tremendously powerful, had a huge effect, as did the earlier one when you did the 4-hour fast from 12 midnight to 4. That was very powerful as well. So this is a brilliant idea. And as Zora has said, if Prime Creator and the Galactics and Zora need to be convinced, well, let's convince them. And as Catherine was saying, when one fasts, it tends to keep your attention on what you're doing because you're aware every moment that the reason you're not eating is because you are making a statement and you're raising your consciousness to a higher level so that the entire universe can see your light beaming outward. And when you do that, it will create a tremendous effect. So, as Zora was saying, it doesn't, you know, if you do have health limitations, you don't have to fast, but it's the attention and the conscious awareness of taking your place, no doubts, no questions, to show your resolve that you're willing to come out of your shell, come out of your house, you're willing to make your stand and convince the world it is time and we are ready. And when you do that, you will have a powerful effect. And by all means, when you know, how many people do you encounter in a day who are aware of what you're eating? Your family, your friends, anyone you go to dinner with? They're all going to know that you're fasting, and they're going to want to know why. And when you tell them, you're raising their consciousness level. So let everyone know that you're doing this fast, and let them know why. So there are many reasons why this is an effective way to present this, and why it will create a lot of attention. Now, if you can contact the disclosure people and get them to help you advertise it and join in, that would be brilliant. So I want to congratulate all of you on your dedication and your principles and your willingness to speak your mind, to make your wishes known. This is so important now. What good is it if people just sit in their living room chair and say, okay, bring me the goodies. You know, I'm ready. I'm ready to have all of these wonderful things fall in my lap without having to actually tell anyone that I know about this or that I'm a part of it. Well, that's not how it works. So all of us have to work together. This is not something that God is going to do for us. This is not something that I'm going to do for everybody. This is a joint effort. Every minute of it, every day, every effort that has been made in connection with those on the ground.
Is that what you mean?
Yes, dear.
You know, right now we had two of our members in very acute situations that needed monetary help, and we're in a drive to help them right now. And I have kind of labeled it our lesson in oneness. What, you know, each of us doing a little bit is creating a large fund, and I'm kind of likening that to what you're talking about. There aren't, you know, compared to 7 billion people on the surface, those of us that will contribute to this fast might seem like a small number, but the cohesion of oneness that we're going, it's going to be powerful in our oneness. Am I on the right track?
Oh, you are on the right track. Yes, dear. You are on the right track. That's exactly what happens, because the light that is generated increases logarithmically. There is a geometric principle that creates a greater light the more people join in. So one person meditating is wonderful. Two is even is times four, and then four people is 16. So as you see as the energy increases, it becomes even more so. So there are, well, I won't go into the mathematics, but there is a phenomenon that occurs that creates multiples of any intention as it caroms off all the others who are creating the same intention, and it is a powerful, powerful event. So it doesn't have to be a million people. It would be wonderful if it were a million. Why not aim for a million? But even a few thousand, you and Catherine can easily reach 10,000, 20,000 people. And the disclosure people have, I'm sure, a list of contacts that are even more than that. So you can reach thousands of people. And imagine it.
Yeah, it's exciting, isn't it? It's very exciting.
It is. Yes, it is very exciting. It's also exciting to know that you have the ability to tip the balance.
Wow.
We're cheering for you, we're helping you, but you on the ground are the ones who will tip the balance. You will make it happen. And we are, by universal law, we are not permitted to do it for you. We can give you all kinds of help. We can direct the organizations that will, you know, distribute the funds and so on, but we do not do it alone.
That has never
been the plan.
This is where we can recognize the power of our individuality when it is cohesed with the individuality of others of like mind, we become very powerful. As you say, it's a logarithmic experience of multiplying in great numbers and power. I think it's wonderful.
And I think it will work.
Well,
you had a brilliant effect over the past months and years, and the effect is increasing. More and more of your listeners and your readers are calling in. We apologize to those who haven't had a chance to answer their questions. Maybe we need more time. Anyway, we'll have Saturday, and hopefully these folks will call in on Saturday with questions as well. But you have the energy of your voices, the energy of your efforts is so clear to your listeners and is so commanding to them that they are responding with great love and feeling a part of something that is so important to them and is so important to us. So it's a wonderful thing what's happening here on the calls, and it's a delight to be a part of this because it is what has been my dream and our dream for thousands of years, and it is finally happening. It is finally going to come true. So I wish you all strength. I wish you all resolve that you can step forth and bring a crowd with you. Everyone who's listening and everyone who will listen to this archive, I urge you, take part in this historic and glorious project that will bring about change.
That's wonderful.
And the more people who know, the better.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. It clarifies us because we need to understand we are with power. Even though we're individuals, we have no idea the power we generate together. Invite everyone to join us on Saturday when we announce our plans on how this will all come about.
Yes, that's wonderful. And remind them what time your show is on Saturday.
I better do that right now.
Yes, so that everyone can come.
Okay.
All right, I will say namaste. Salute, everyone.
Thank you. Namaste.
Take it away, Anne.
Bye, Saint Germain. Thank you so much. Well, folks, as Catherine is getting ready to close our call, I'm going to quickly tell you where you can rejoin us this coming Saturday. That would be the 13th, I believe, and it'll be here on Blog Talk Radio. And our name is Hollow Earth Network. So you will come to Blog Talk Radio on Hollow Earth Network. It will be sent out to all of our subscribers. If you come to hollowearthnetwork.com, you can subscribe and you'll be alerted as to the Saturday call. Subscriptions are free. The whole website is free. So we just invite you to catch up with us, and we'll be announced. And the call will be on Saturday at 9 a.m. Pacific, and that comes to 12 noon Eastern. Catherine, I'm going to let you close the call.
Oh, thanks. Yes, and I want to also notify people that they can also subscribe to the blogs on my website, and I will also post the time on the first page of my website. So it will be available to everyone who wants to find the information. It'll be easy to find. And we will be back on Saturday. Anne will be directing the call, and Zora will speak through one of us, whoever is prepared to do that on Saturday. So we look forward to being back together again on Saturday and hearing what transpires then. All right. Good night, everyone. Good night, Anne.
Good night, Catherine. See you Saturday.
Okay. Bye-bye.